Hello and welcome to Learning to Live the Life, a discussion podcast from Christchurch Down End, helping you in your journey with Jesus in your discipleship. I'm the Reverend Aidan Watson and it's great to be back. It's great to record our episodes again. It's something we haven't been able to do during lockdown for various reasons, but we've got some exciting episodes coming up in the next few weeks, in the next few months, and I'm really excited about today's episode with Anita Dobson, our discipleship of all ages worker. We're going to have a chat about what discipleship means, what discipleship looks like in the new normal. I hope you enjoy. Hello, welcome back to Learning to Live the Life. It's been a while that since we recorded the podcast. There was a little kind of minor blip in the summer. I don't know if you knew anything that happened in your life over the summer. Recording became tricky and editing became tricky because we were making videos lots of the time, but we'll work on that. I'm joined by Anita.
Hi.
Hello. Anita joined me on our first podcast, which we did back in, was it January or December?
Was it really? Wow.
I think it was with Esther. But yeah, we're gonna have a chat today. We're also recording this as a video today because one of the positives of lockdown is we've all learned how to use Zoom and we can, record videos now. So we'll probably release this on the YouTube channel at some point as well, hopefully, unless it all goes wrong. But today we're going to be talking about discipleship. It's something we started our first podcast on, before Christmas or January or whenever it was. And we're going to talk about discipleship again, aren't we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of talking about how discipleship has changed and how, you know, maybe our following of Jesus might look different because of how the world is. What does discipleship look like in the new normal? But before we do that, I wonder, should we introduce ourselves again? Mm-hmm. Anita, do you want to say a bit about yourself?
Hi, yeah, I'm Anita Dobson. We've just been talking about my slightly famous name, a bit of like a C-list celebrity name.
How is Dirty Den? Is Dirty Den okay?
Yeah, Dirty Den's fine, yeah. I work at Christchurch Down End and I have the very strange title of Discipleship for All Ages is my sort of ministry area. I guess we'll kind of talk a bit more about what that means, but pointing people to Jesus, I suppose, is a good way of summarizing that. I was on furlough during a lot of lockdown, so that was both wonderful and strange. I felt very guilty at the amount of time I got to rest when you guys were all working so hard, but anyway, that was a blessing that I enjoyed. Got two grown-up children who are now at uni, or not post-uni, or whatever. So we had a fun time locked down together for all that time. And that's me, I suppose.
What was your biggest achievement? What was your biggest achievement during your furlough? You think, oh, I'm so glad I got that done. And what was your thing? You're like, I can't believe I didn't manage to get that done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a terrible list maker. So, of course, I made a list and I didn't get everything done. My biggest achievement, learning to cycle more long distance. So for me, we got up to about sort of 40 miles cycle rides, which for me that was a big thing. Doing some very long overdue DIY projects, sort of writing a book, which is not yet finished, but that's a big thing.
You have to tell me about that. You can say about it later on this, or you can say about it after.
And then the thing I didn't get done is I'm having to admit that no matter how many hours you give me off and how many years you give me off, I'm never going to clean the oven.
That didn't happen.
I just didn't have time.
I think no matter how long I'd have, I still don't think I'd live in a tidy house in general. To be honest. I'm very carefully positioned my camera on Zoom so you can't see how the mess that is down there kind of around. But yeah. No, I think 40 miles cycles, that's impressive, I must admit. I did see your things on Facebook saying where you were going. I found that impressive.
I know, just to rub it into everybody that we were off around the countryside in that beautiful weather.
So we're going to chat about discipleship, as we said, but before we do, we should probably ask what is discipleship, because I think it's a word that we maybe hear a lot, maybe it's a word we don't hear so much, but like, What do you think discipleship means, Anita?
Yeah, well, I think it means following Jesus, basically. And I think when we talk about discipleship as something that we want to do more of or do better or whatever, I think what we're really saying is we're kind of asking ourselves the question, you know, how much do I want to know Jesus better? And how could I do that? What do I need, you know, in order to do that? What do I need to do differently in my life, perhaps, in order to, you know, to get to know him better? And probably, you know, who do I need to help me? So, you know, I think it's kind of an interplay between our desire, our will, our relationship with God as we have it at that time. And obviously, most importantly, you know, our sort of receiving of the Holy Spirit to help us, because it's not something that we can do within our own strength. And if we don't have the desire, we can ask God for the desire. So it's kind of win-win, because, you know, God's on our side. He's obviously desperate for us to know him better. Yeah. So I think, you know, sometimes we talk about discipleship and we think, oh, it all means about reading certain books or going to certain prayer meetings or whatever. But, you know, it's a much more sort of fundamental and kind of life-giving thing than that, really. It's,
yeah,
it's about how much do I want to know Jesus? How, you know, would I like to get to know him better? And if I don't, why don't I? Or, you know, could I pray for a desire? And if I do, what am I going to do about it? And how's God going to help me?
Yeah,
and definitely. I was thinking that, you know, it's a three-way thing, I suppose, isn't it? Because it's me and God, and then the church. You know, how can the church support me? How can we support people to do that?
Yeah, great. I mean, we'll chat about, you know, I suppose the relationship of those kind of three in it as we go forward. But I think I'm always encouraged by the meaning of, or where the origin of the word disciple, which is like student. Kathy always says that the Welsh word for student or pupil is disciplo, I think, or displot. It's very similar to the word disciple. I'm sorry to any Welsh listeners who I've just murdered that word, but I know it's a very similar origin because they've got it closer to that. But yes, and you know, we said this when we first recorded the podcast, but just a reminder, you know, we're calling this learning to live the life, because that's our vision as a church, isn't it? And and learning is a huge part of being a disciple. It's being a constant learner. And I was chatting actually to someone yesterday. I think learning has been the concept of learning has been one of my big things that I've learned as it goes, over lockdown myself, because I've just seen how my son, who's, you know, over lockdown, he's learned to walk. He's learned to eat a lot more, you know, on his own. He's learning new things every day. Currently he's trying to, or hopefully learning, how to fall asleep by himself in his bed. And learning's quite difficult. Learning's quite difficult. It's quite a painful process, especially learning to walk, you know. He was taking steps and then boom, he'd be down, and then take a few more steps, boom. But you know, you just slowly get better and more confident. And And that's, I think that's something, and a muscle that we can teach ourselves or learn and grow and develop in general, is in our discipleship. You know, how can we learn? Even though it might be tricky, sometimes we'll find things challenging. Sometimes God will challenge us to grow. You know, Jesus, you know, he wasn't without challenge, was he?
No, absolutely.
He called people to a radical discipleship, a radical following of him. And yeah, that's been my, so I think it was interesting when your definition of discipleship, you included quite a bit of, it sounded like a bit like hard work at times, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the picture of a toddler learning to walk is actually really good, isn't it? Because it does hurt sometimes, but also it's kind of both entirely natural and absolutely liberating, because, you know, once Reuben learns, he can run away from you, you know, result.
Yeah, brilliant.
You know, freedom for him, you know.
Yeah, so true. So true. Yeah, it's good. Oh, that analogy is better than I thought it was. So if we kind of think back, imagine to what the world was like in, you know, January, February time, you know, before we even knew what the word COVID was like. Do you ever remember that?
Just about remember, yeah.
Yeah, just crazy times. You know, we would probably have a very different discussion to how we would have it today. You know, how do we follow Jesus? What does following Jesus look like? You know, how would you say for you or for others that you've spoken to that kind of your discipleship has changed, or what are you finding more tricky or even not possible because of how the world is?
Well, First of all, I was thinking about all the kind of physical things and thinking, well, obviously, you know, we can't meet together in quite the same way. You know, church is limited. Some people can't come. And then, you know, we don't all fit physically into the building and so on. And when we do go, we have to wear masks and all that kind of thing. So when we're kind of thinking of learning, like, you know, learning from a sermon or whatever, then physical things are different. You know, life groups that we meet during the week, some of them can't meet at all because they can't quite get the technology. Others are meeting online and so on. But I was thinking in other ways, it hasn't really changed because, you know, you can still listen to a sermon, you can still worship, you can still go to a life group for most people. You know, and as an individual, you can still read, you know, there's lots available. So I was thinking maybe what actually is more of a barrier, what's been difficult for people, has been our kind of emotional state of mind. Perhaps that actually is something that, you know, is more of a barrier. You know, learning to still trust God even when, you know, things keep getting worse, or learn to trust God when you don't have your normal support networks and you know, anxiety is rising. And maybe for a lot of people, not so much headspace, you know, because of that anxiety, and because maybe people have been under tremendous pressure of work, or some people have been worrying about them losing their job or have lost their job. Some people have been, you know, really sort of coping with loneliness and the difficulties of that, or other people have had really health worries, then that takes up a lot of emotional energy. And also if you put on top of that, you know, people who've been homeschooling over lockdown, then I think people, you know, from what I can gather, you know, people just felt like they didn't have as much headspace to, you know, to really process anything or to kind of think about their faith and you know, put the hours in, if you like, put in the time to kind of investigate stuff. So I don't know whether that sort of bears out with what you've found from people.
Yeah, I think some people, you know, if we were talking 4 months, you know, so just a couple of months into lockdown or whatever, or even a month into lockdown, I think people really threw themselves into it. Like, we're going to get through this. There was a good spirit in, you know, in communities, and you could see that on the TV and with the clapping for the NHS and just various ways of which, you know, I think just fatigue is a huge thing. And it's when you're fatigued and when you're really burnt out kind of emotionally, that's when I find if I haven't got, this is just speaking for myself, I haven't got like rhythms or habits to fall back on, that's when I find I fall back on nothing. Whereas sometimes when we're, you know, I know in the past, but certainly during lockdown, when you know, we default back to whatever our habit is during during these kind of pressured times. I think also, you know, speaking from a church point of view, you know, one of that part of the three, God, church in us, I think, you know, I was chatting to Diane, well, we were chatting to Diane in our staff meeting the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, we've been aware that we needed to kind of prune things as a church because we're doing so many activities and maybe our, you know, focus was occasionally getting distracted, and COVID has forced us to kind of only focus on a few things, you know, because we haven't got the capacity, either because of those restrictions or because of our own emotional and physical and time, you know. And just trying to really focus on, you know, what is the key thing in my life? What's the key thing in our lives? How can I follow Jesus? You know, simply, I probably don't need to be reading a million books. I just need to kind of be doing something regularly a little bit. You know, just kind of something that's helping and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's sort of when we're under extreme stress, you know, it's what comes out that you know, really sort of shows us where we've got to with Jesus, doesn't it, really? You know, I'm the first to say, you know, sometimes I've realized, oh, what am I reaching for in times of anxiety? Is it a biscuit or is it prayer, you know? And quite often it was the biscuit, really. And I know other people
I have a physique of biscuits.
It looks like gluten-free. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, we can all sort of perhaps become aware of things. And also, I suppose if you're the sort of person who's used to coming to church physically for quite a lot of your week and your routines, then if you have most of those things stripped away as they were to start with, then, you know, you perhaps were relying on those sort of external prompts to remind you to pray and remind you to think about things from God's point of view, and, you know, reminder that God loves you and he's in control and all that kind of thing. And so I think, you know, for some people, perhaps that, you know, that was quite a difficult shock to realize, actually, the church can only help me so much. And I mean, you know, the church has done amazing things, but I'm sure we've failed in some ways, or left people out, or, yeah. Sort of dropped some balls or whatever. And also just limit to what we can physically do. So I suspect that, you know, for people, you know, they will have realized, oh, hang on, I'm not getting all of those prompts from outside, from the church. So maybe it does need to be a bit more about me and God, and, you know, I need to rely on him myself. So I should think that must have been quite a difficult thing for people to work through. I mean, certainly from my own point of view, you know, being on furlough, not being able to sort of be involved in church things at the time, I had to kind of really say, wow, you know, who is it I'm worshipping? Am I worshipping God, or am I worshipping being part of a church? And although the church bit is vital, it's only second to God, you know?
Yeah. And I think we may be speaking just for the two of us and other people, but we're both employed by the church. And sometimes it's like, am I a Christian because I'm employed to be a Christian? Am I a professional Christian, or am I following Jesus because he's the way, the truth and the life, and there's nothing better in this world?
Exactly. And I think, you know, if you're the sort of person who's very involved in church, if you're on lots of rotas and things, you know, that can become the reason to go to church, is because you've got to do some job there. And, you know, to have all that stripped away, you know, then why do you go to church? If going to church means, you know, finding it on YouTube or doing the dial a sermon or whatever, then that was quite a challenge for people to think, you know, is this where I am with God? You know, am I wanting to learn from him and to worship him and so on? So, yeah, so I think that's hard, but it's not necessarily bad, because we all need to be kind of pulled up short and, you know, challenged a bit, don't we? So I think we certainly have had a lot of challenge.
Yeah, definitely. So before we move on, can I ask you about your book?
Oh, yeah.
What have you kind of written?
It's a racy blockbuster. No, it's not. no, I'm hoping it's going to be a series of creative writing, like poems and stuff, about what I wrote, followed by a sort of an explanation of where God was teaching me, or, you know, what he was doing at the time, sort of reflections that I've written in my journal over the years, and I kind of found some good ones out there and thought, oh, maybe these would help other people. So then following that, then there's a sort of question of things that you could do, you know, as you read it, you could use it as a time of sort of personal reflection. Yeah. Also, a small group, you could sort of use it as a basis for a small group reflection.
Oh,
and then it's starting to get a bit out of hand, because then I might put some links to some online resources as extra things where somebody could use it for, like, setting up a prayer station on the same theme, or there might be a song you could listen to as part of your small group thing. Or you might be able to use it as like a meditation in a quiet kind of service or a retreat or something. So it's going to be multifunctional.
A multifunctional thing, but project.
Project discipleship.
Brilliant. Yeah.
It's called Unfolding. Unfolding. Which is kind of like a metaphor for how we kind of blossom, blossom as individuals, as we learn to live the life, as we learn to follow Jesus. He wants us to flourish.
That's exciting. It's
about learning to flourish, and particularly about focusing on areas where we might find that we're kind of a bit blocked or a bit stuck. Maybe we've got like a slightly warped picture of what God is like, or about how the world works, or how we're meant to behave. And the things I've written often are because I got stuck with something and then somebody helped me to get unstuck, or God gave me a particular insight that helped me to get unstuck. So I'm hoping that might help other people to also kind of get unstuck with God as well.
Brilliant. So, I mean, that's really cool. I'm excited to read that. I'll pre-order one copy, please. but so kind of moving forward, like, should we have a chat about, you know, how we're finding people are engaging with God now in this time, and you know, what we're doing as a church, how we're helping people in their discipleship, what's the role of the church, we feel, kind of in this lockdown time? We have no idea. Obviously, we're recording this just before, just kind of as the cases are rising quite steadily, and we've had, you know, the increased restrictions recently by the government and stuff, so we don't know when this will end. You know, how are we kind of learning to live the life? How are we following Jesus? How are you seeing people follow Jesus today?
Yeah, Well, I think the church as a body, I think we can kind of give ourselves a pat on the back at how adaptable we've been, about how we've really tried to respond to all the different regulations and respond to what we're sort of allowed to do, to try and do whatever we can. So obviously there's been a huge amount of pastoral work done. A lot of CAP, the Christians Against Poverty charity, is adapted to helping out families that the schools have recommended to us because of other things that they couldn't do. They sort of thought, well, what can we do? So I think there's been a on the whole a real sort of attitude of, well, God's still able to work. He's bigger than the virus, he's bigger than the situation. So what can he teach us in this time? How can we respond? So I think, as you say, in those early days, there was a particularly sort of hopeful, like, oh, well, okay, God, let's see what you want us to do now. And obviously that's harder to sustain as time goes on because we get very fatigued. We were able to put things online. So services were online, weren't they? And then we were able to have live worship. So we then made sure we live streamed so that people could still enjoy it at home and still take part, even if they couldn't come out. So there's all of that, even though it's a bit different, masks and no singing and all that kind of thing. But, people have made the most of it and just persevered. And I think, things like we had this thing called Bread for Today, which was a daily thought that you could watch online every day. And that now it's just twice a week. But, I think people really seem to have taken that very well and really enjoyed it. Because it was lots of different people in the church just giving their thoughts about what word of encouragement or hope that they could give that day. And I think whether you watched it religiously every day at the right time or whether you sort of picked up on it later or dipped into it, that seems to be a really helpful way. Maybe as individuals we're thinking, oh my goodness me, I've got to do this myself, I can't rely on the church in the same way. Actually, this was like, food that was sort of dropping into their inbox or whatever. That they could actually take part in, so that's been really good.
I think it's kind of, I think as I chat to people, I think I'm really encouraged by how much people have kind of really committed in their following of Jesus during this time, and the amount of people we have had messaging saying, Bread for Today was so helpful, helped us get into rhythms and routines of just listening to God. And obviously kind of since lockdown started easing, we ended up reducing Bread for Today to twice a week. And we don't know what the future will hold with that, but hopefully people have kept the rhythm of kind of listening out, looking things. There's so many resources out there for things. And just as we were saying before, get into those habits, those routines. But also I think you touched on something that I found quite interesting, that I think will be so important for us moving forward, is the action part, isn't it? It's not just following Jesus for our own personal faith and our own sustenance, but like worshipping Jesus in our actions through supporting ministries like CAP that are going to be, like, we can only imagine how useful and how necessary CAP's going to be moving forward in our community and supporting our schools and, just doing our bit by wearing our masks at the right times, perhaps, and, various things and, shopping and being, loving our neighbour, truly.
Because I think there was a feeling of, like, if the church can't really do much mission together, because as you say, discipleship was partly about, sharing Jesus with others, then how do we share people with others when we can't really meet with others? And certainly when we can't run church events like we would normally do, we can't open up the church with a bouncy castle and get 200 people in. So how on earth can we do it? We can't run Mercy Church as we couldn't at that time. So that's been quite interesting. We know that people have been joining us online who don't normally come to church. So that's really great. Although then it's hard to know how to reach out and support and get to know those people and encourage them. But anyway, that's really good.
Shout out to my parents for that as well.
Yeah.
Joining us from from Buckinghamshire.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? So we did have some new contacts and new friendships made and new people come online. I think our life groups have adapted amazingly well wherever they could, going online. And for some people that's actually been better, hasn't it? Because there's no babysitting issues when you're on Zoom.
There's definitely been positives for us. Yeah.
And also there's sometimes a sense, I think it is, we'd really rather meet together, but sometimes you can feel quite able to talk personally when you're sitting on your own sofa. So I think sometimes there's been a sort of an increase in intimacy, or maybe that would have happened anyway, but because we felt like we needed each other more in these times. So perhaps people have been more open and more honest about how they're feeling and things anyway, because because of the fact that people are more anxious and more kind of looking out for each other. So that's been really good.
Then obviously we've had our sermon series that we've kind of done this, you know, we're in the middle of, aren't we? Kind of make a difference where you are is what we're calling it. We've heard lots of stories from every week. We're having a story from someone in the church kind of sharing about how they're being fruitful on their front lines, and kind of some of that has been engaging with this kind of new normal. Some of it's been doing other things and just share, good to hear stories. But I mean, you were the kind of person who put together the sermon series in a way. You did the kind of plans for it from, it was your brainchild essentially. So like, well, how do you feel that's going down, and what's the kind of purpose of it, and how do you feel it's going, how people are receiving it, and what do you think?
Well, from what we can gather, it seems to be going down well. I think people are enjoying hearing from people in our congregation telling stories. I hope the stories are making people think, I could do that, and not thinking, oh gosh, they're super Christians, I can't do that. So really hoping that people remember that these are ordinary people, you know, just like you and me, and that we all can live for God on our front lines.
Yeah.
I think it's been helpful to sort of for people to reevaluate front lines, because front lines have changed so much. So you know, whether you were now working from home instead of going to the office, or you're now no longer commuting or travelling for work, so you don't get to see people on your
Remind us what are front lines for those people who are maybe new to the church.
Good idea. So front lines are places where you spend most of your time. So it might be, for some people it might be at home with your young children, or with an elderly relative. Some people it might be going to work. Some people it might be a particular leisure activity that they get involved with. It might be the people that you see every day as you go to buy your newspaper, or you know, the doctors that you go to every week to have your foot checked or whatever. You know, those, anybody that you sort of spend time with is an opportunity for God to bless them, for God to reach them, you know, for you to show them God's love. So it's just being alert and aware to those opportunities, which is why we call it Make a Difference Where You Are. It's the name of the series is, you know, let's not worry about whether God's going to place us in a mission field in China, because I mean, he might, but most of us he won't. He's planted us all, you know, in whatever place he's put us, and because he wants us to bless those people. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just those times, it just kind of encourages us to be intentional, doesn't it? But intentional you know, making those spaces where, especially when we're spending prolonged times every week with non-Christians, or people for whom church is just an alien concept, you know, just being a blessing where we are. And you know, and I agree. I there's a church in London that has a slogan, ordinary people, extraordinary God. And I kind of got reminded of it when we've been watching these videos, just ordinary people sharing testimonies and stories about how they're following an extraordinary God who's doing amazing things through them.
Exactly, because the kind of things that people are sharing, and you know, there's a little book that we can read by Mark Green that helps us as well. The kind of things people are doing, they're not really weird and odd things. They're not really highly difficult things. They're just doing something with the intention and with the prayer behind it, and with the church behind you praying for you as well. You know, that's an amazing sense. If you think that people are praying for you, then you kind of have that deeper sense of God being at work. So being intentional, being creative about how to do things, especially at the moment when it's not that easy to do things in the normal way. Is really, and also sort of celebrating things, noticing that that's what's happening, because a lot of people tell me what they do, and they're, oh, I don't really do anything on my front line, and then you ask questions and they tell you, and you're like, yes you do. oh I didn't think that counted, you know. So I think it's sort of us celebrating each other's gifts and ministry, really.
Yeah, so true. I mean, it was a while ago obviously, but when we recorded the discussion podcast with Angie and Laura, just chatting to them about their frontline in healthcare, which obviously I'm going to reinterpret if I listen to it again, because of the last 6 months and, you know, how we view healthcare now. If you've got time, go find it in our podcast and listen to it, because it's just stunning. Just listen to, and being encouraged by the two of them in their work that they do in healthcare, and how they engage with some really tricky concepts, but follow Jesus amazingly there. So I suppose I really should have worked out what time we started recording, shouldn't I? That would have been a good idea, wouldn't it?
Never mind.
We think it's about 11:15, but we'll, maybe to finish, should we have a chat about, you know, going forward and kind of looking to the future, if we can, you know, what's kind of your thoughts moving forward about how you see the church going, how you see, you know, things you'd encourage people listening to kind of do, take away from our chat, if possibly.
You're asking me to see into the future, Aidan, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not only are you a character in EastEnders, but you're Mystic Meg now.
Well, if only any of us knew what was going to happen next. thank God he does. Yeah. So I guess all we can say is the kind of principles and the intentions and trends. I mean, anybody would be foolish to plan too far ahead, wouldn't they? But
yeah.
I think what we're looking to do is to encourage, worship in person wherever we can, because we're able to do that. Encourage people to join a life group or to continue with their life groups, whether they're allowed to meet in person or online. We're looking to see if we can get some of the home groups that can't meet online because they don't really have the right gadgets or whatever. We're looking to see whether they could come to church as a group and we could have like a little act of worship together as a group. So that's something that I'm sort of working on at the moment. So if anybody's interested in that, let me know.
Brilliant.
And then as individuals, I'm thinking, maybe that increased sense of sort of, well, it's up to me. If I want to go and know Jesus better, I can't just rely on the church to kind of spoon feed me everything. I need to do stuff myself. And now we've got so much, back copies recorded, haven't we, on YouTube. There are hundreds of Bread for Todays and former services and sermons and songs just from our church, and let alone the thousands and millions of things that are out there that you could listen to. So, some people have discovered podcasts in the last year, haven't they, that never knew what a podcast was.
And I thoroughly encourage listening to podcasts.
Podcasts are great. Exactly. So there are many things that people could do, listen to a podcast while you go for a run or while you're unable to sleep in the night or
listen to a podcast where you don't go for a run
when you're baking or whatever. So I think it's a great time for people to kind of, perhaps sit down with themselves, if you like, and with God and say, where are my habits taking me away from knowing you better, Jesus? Where could I change my habits to make it easier to draw close to you? What could I feed myself with, really?
Yeah.
And that's always been our message, because I remember being challenged by God some years ago, because I felt like, as a discipleship person, I was trying to lead all the horses to water, but you can't make them drink, and God saying, I've got this, you're there to encourage, you can't force people to love me, I'll give them that desire. If they turn to me, I'll give it to them. I'll help them. You're just there to kind of cheer on the sidelines. And that, I found that really helpful, because obviously, as I say, you can't force anybody.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a sort of sense of people needing to take responsibility for themselves. Having said that, if many vulnerable people really struggling at the moment, the more we can encourage them through praying for them and looking out for each other, the better.
Yeah.
Because you can't grow spiritually if you are, in a mess emotionally or financially, so worried you can't see straight, so that pastoral thing needs to be really,
yeah, really, and I think as we've spoken about the church, we've got these structures where we're desperately trying to reach out to people, and I know that we've got this pastoral care team that the various people are on, and the care coordinators, that's it, and they're phenomenal, the work that they're doing, the amount of people who are being supported. But as we said earlier, it's very easy to slip through the net. And I think one thing that I think has been a positive of lockdown is I think people are slightly more open with how they're feeling. I've seen it in signs just in our society. I've just seen signs in around saying it's okay to not be okay. Let's be encouraged to actually talk up and set, call out if, just because we're, maybe having to do social distancing, that doesn't mean we stop socializing. That doesn't mean that the church is still not being a communal, a community together. Yeah, we might have to chat on the phone or go for a walk in the park rather than, meet with a cup of tea and a biscuit. But that's okay. We can be open and honest, and we can meet with one another. And I know that has been happening. People have been engaging. And I ended up having a chat with a retired accountant the other day. And accountants, I would say, in my previous experience, no offense to any of them, they're usually quite hard to break down and have a kind of intimate conversation with this guy.
Generalization, but we'll let that go.
Yeah, and I'm any offense to any accountants, I'm sorry, but this guy, he was very kind of reserved. But actually, I think he had, you know, over lockdown, he's kind of worked out how to speak more, and we spoke about some troubles he was having with his family, and it really actually had a heart-to-heart conversation in a way that I don't know if we would have done with this British stiff upper lip that we've had until about 6 months ago. I think it is mm-hmm. lessening, and I just encourage us as a church, as followers of Jesus, to you know, be open. You know, Jesus was not resistant to emotions. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus. He got angry. He wept. His heart went out when he saw when the rich young ruler went away. He was, you know, really sad and clearly showed his emotions so that someone would write it down. And let's not be scared of emotions in that. And let's just be church, even if it looks a bit different.
Yeah. I think it's also, if you have hope, then you can be creative, even if the solution doesn't arise straight away. So if you're thinking, well, how can I follow Jesus when, you know, I've got all these worries, or, you know, that I don't have the house to myself, or whatever. You know, I think if the will is there, as I say, God will give you the idea, or give somebody else the idea that they then prompt you with, about, you know, how we can get through these things. Because, you know, often people think that discipleship means, oh, I've got to spend even more time doing stuff. My life is already full. It's not really about more time. It's about just reapportioning what we do, or perhaps how we do it, or, you know, as I say, what we were saying earlier, what you listen to while you're doing it, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many different ways that we don't, and people are so different that you never want people to feel that everybody has to follow Jesus in the same way. Everybody has to like the same things. I mean, some people don't even like podcasts, you know, it's incredible, but, you know, apparently it's true. You know, they'd rather curl up with a book, or they would rather go for a run and think about things, or they would rather go out and deliver food parcels. You know, that's their discipleship. That's their way of sort of following Jesus. So, yeah, and that's always been true, but I think it's perhaps even more noticeable now.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for, I think we've had a good chat. I think hopefully people will take something away from this. Just to say, you know, if you want to keep up to date with, you know, the world is changing every week or so, and, you know, we're trying our best to keep our website kind of updated. So everything we're doing as a church is pretty much, you can find it from the homepage of our website, christchurchdownend.com, or just get in contact. You know, we've got our Facebook groups, and we've got our Facebook page, and we've got our YouTube channel, where you can keep up to date, hopefully, with stuff. And we're still doing our services 10:30 every Sunday, and we're streaming them if you can't be there in person. We've also started a family service at 4 p.m. So for families, kind of, it's every other week, isn't it? It's we have 1 week in church, then the next week on Zoom. So do get in contact with us about that if that's something you're interested in. Yesterday was brilliant. Anita wasn't able to be there because you were helping your mother-in-law move, weren't you? But yesterday was it was really, really fun. It was crazy, but it was fun. And a good fun time in church whilst also being safe. And I thoroughly encourage you, if you can get involved with that, and come along.
And we also have that service on earlier on a Sunday morning as well, the 9:15 service, which is, I think that's happening every other week at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, Quakers Road, yeah.
Yeah, so down at the church centre in Quakers Road, so that's also a more traditional service, which is fantastic too.
And then we have Sunday Compline at 8 p.m. I mean, there's just services galore.
Yeah. It's almost more than normal, but it is, is it more than normal?
No, we did four because we didn't do it. The Thursday service hasn't yet come back, has it?
That's true, yeah.
So, and it's different. It's similar number, but different. And we're obviously working out various things moving forward, and we're keeping alert to the guidance. Also to say, this podcast, you know, Anita and I, we chat about this podcast and kind of plan it and kind of chat about ideas and stuff. And I think the plan for now is to release kind of one discussion a month. We'll see how that goes. We'll see where the world moves, but next month going to be joined by an amazing guest. I'm really, really excited to be joined by her. It's the Reverend Dr. Helen Painter, who is a Baptist minister, but also a lecturer at Bristol Baptist College, and she's written a book called God of Violence Yesterday, God of Love Today. And it's a chance for us to really engage with the Bible, kind of tricky questions coming out of the Bible. You know, even yesterday in our family service, we were looking at the story of Moses, and there's tricky questions that come out of the story of Moses and the 10 plagues, especially the last mm-hmm. one. She's amazing at helping people just kind of wrestle with these questions and realize that God is loving through it, and that we can honestly wrestle with them and be a Christian. You know, we don't have to hide away and just pretend that they don't exist. We don't have to just think about stuff. But we're going to look at topics around mental health. We're going to kind of come back to some of the topics we did in the summer in our summer series. So race and the church, we'll have a discussion about that maybe in the new year. And if you've got ideas for podcasts, then do let either of us know, really. We'd be really interested to kind of make this as a two-way thing as much as possible. But yeah, so thank you, Anita, so much for your time.
Pleasure.
It's been really good. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Learning to Live the Life, the podcast. It's great to be back, and I hope you really enjoyed this episode. As I said, please do get in touch if you have any questions, issues, or things you really want us to be talking about. Any ideas you have for the podcast. We have an email address, podcast@christchurchdownend.com. So please do get in touch. Also, please do subscribe to the podcast, and then you'll get notified whenever we release a new episode. We're hoping to do episodes kind of once a month, but if not, more often than that if we can. But for now, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.